Welcome to Friendo Podcast, hosted by me, Amanda Muse. As a YouTuber, I've shared my life online for the last 8 years, and now I'm excited to learn about you. Friendo celebrates people and their stories, from interesting jobs to unique passions and curious life skills that the world should hear about. Community is everything. Let's do this. Anyone else's kid prefer to eat beige food from now until eternity? Now, okay, I do have two kids, so that's only 50% of the problem, I suppose. But food has always been something I feel super guilty about with my kids. Like, as a mom, I can never provide the right food or get them to eat the right ingredients. I mean, sometimes it works. But honestly, it consumes so much space in my brain rent-free that it is ridiculous at this point. You know, as a parent, I excel in many ways. Let's toot my own horn here. But food is an area where I could use some improvement. I got to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. That's for sure. I think I'm not perfect. No, I know for sure I am a flawed human being, and it's just an area I struggle with. You know, I even remember making a video, one of my first on YouTube, about the guilt that came from not making my kids mushy food from scratch. Are you in that stage, you know, where you're taking everything and just like pureeing it? It's horrible. It's gross. Honestly, I was tired. I was breastfeeding around the clock. I was trying to start my own gig on YouTube. And in my spare time, the last thing I wanted to do was make him squishy food, I'm gonna be honest. I really enjoyed the ones you could purchase from the store. I was here for it, but a part of me still feels kind of guilty about that. And my kids are 7 and 9. I really need to let that stuff go. Dean, on the other hand, is super confident in the kitchen. He grew up learning about how to make things from scratch, and he can easily whip up yummy meals in no time at all. P.S. There could be more vegetables, but that's a subject for another day. The fact is, he just exudes confidence in the kitchen, and he's also shared his love of cooking with our kids. Esme happily makes scrambled eggs for her brother, and what's fun too is when she makes those scrambled eggs, she also tends to eat them, and she's always willing to experiment in the kitchen, and it honestly makes my heart so happy. Maybe I shouldn't be so hard on myself. That's probably a topic for another day, because I do always involve the kids in baking, and I don't mind if they make a mess, because generally speaking, they tend to eat or at least try whatever they make, and I'm totally here for that. Happy to clean. No problem. Today's guest is Allison Burke. She founded Nourish to You to share her ever-evolving knowledge and love for food with everyone. Her specialty is working with kids because she's seen what happens when kids experiment in the kitchen, and she wants to see more of it. And her goal is to make cooking and baking fun, accessible, and relatable for everyone. Welcome to the podcast, Allison. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Tell me about yourself, because we know each other outside of this podcast. So tell me a little bit about yourself and of course what you've been up to.
Sure. So you and I know each other from like when I was in a different world, right? I've kind of evolved that world since you and I last, I think, maybe hung out in California. It would probably be the last time that I saw you face to face. I am a mom of 3 boys and 2 dogs and a wife. I always say that last, and a wife. It's just kind of like in a, you know, and I'm a journalist by trade. I moved into PR and marketing from there. I then ran my own PR agency for 10 years while having my children. Then I moved into media sales and digital media for a couple of years. Felt that got a little icky for me. So I decided to refigure out myself at the age of 40. And basically went back to school. Got a culinary nutrition diploma certificate. And the rest is history. And now I'm running cooking classes and experiences for kids and teens and adults. So considering all of this journey really started only about 15 years ago, it's been pretty busy.
I love it.
I love it. That is a big change. Like it seems yes. big to at least me on the outside, but has, you know, working with food, has this always been a passion for you?
So health and wellness has always been a passion for me, mostly in the area of fitness. I've been a fitness junkie for a really long time, but food and cooking has always meant something like in my heart and in my soul, right? Like when I think of cinnamon or I smell cinnamon, it immediately takes me back to my bubby, my grandmother's house when I was little and making cinnamon buns. Like there's an emotional connection to baking and cooking and all of that. And I think when I turned 40 and was trying to figure my life out, I think basically what happened was I was drawn to something that was comforting. And I think we could all totally relate to that right now. So I really needed something. And I was like, well, and this course kept popping up in my Facebook. You really should do this. You really should do this. And I went for it. It was just, it wasn't supposed to be lead to a business. It wasn't supposed to lead to a shift in my career. It was just supposed to sort of get my creative juices going again, coming out of a place where I just needed inspiration.
Like you said, you turned 40 and then you were like, we've got to make a change. You know, you make it definitely sound like it was just like, we just did this, but you are a mom of three.
Oh no.
You do wear many hats. Like how was that change?
It was a long time coming. It took a few years for it to really take its full turn. I mean, I stopped running my agency for a reason. It was just too much. And then I did another job for a couple of years and it filled a void, a hole. It was good. I'll say that. But it wasn't what I needed or what I was looking for. So, you know, I think most of the listeners would know, you don't just like pick up and change your whole life in 1 second. It's a process, especially when it comes to other things going on. You have to consider your kids. You have to consider that. I mean, this was still pre-COVID. Like I was still driving my kids to hockey 4 times a week and, you know, to dance and to all of these different programs. Like I was really, really crazy busy and pulled in many directions. So there was a lot that had to kind of come into play, but it really came down to my husband saying, you need to be happy because you are not right now. And we need to figure that out. And if this is a course that's going to, maybe you're going to find that piece of you that's been missing for the last couple of years, maybe this is what you should do. And I was lucky enough to be able to do it.
It's so important, hey, finding that something that gives you that little spark again. And I almost look at it like, and I'm sure you do as well, but it's like you did this amazing career and you built this business. Like you said, you started your own agency. That was an amazing chapter. And it takes a lot of courage to be like, okay, I think I'm done with this chapter and we're going to switch gears here.
Oh yeah. It was really hard. I mean, because your identity becomes that. That was my accomplishment. My accomplishment was building that agency. People knew me as that person. That was who I was. We could go on a whole tangent there about, you know, work and identity and all of that. But it felt almost like failure moving from that to something else. But meanwhile, it wasn't failure. And I've learned this over time with, you know, lots of help from lots of other people that, you know, it wasn't about that. It was about, I had changed. I had evolved. I needed new things in my life. And I was going to move on and I had to let go of the fact that leaving my agency behind was not failure.
100%.
That's hard.
No doubt. I know. It's even just like thinking about, I have a partner whose job has shifted dramatically throughout this time, this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to say, well, this is my name and this is who I am and this is what I do. But usually it's the what I do comes before who I am and what my passions are. And so when all of a sudden you're not doing that thing, you're right. It's like, who am I now? Like it's all connected and layered.
Did you know we've released a shop where you can support Frendo? Check out hellofrendo.com and explore. That's HelloFriendo.com and shop mugs, shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more. We're constantly adding new goodies for you. Your purchase directly supports the show and the work involved in creating it for your ears. So thank you. Check out HelloFriendo.com. All right, back to the show.
So tell me, so you take this course and obviously you enjoy it. So where was the point that you said, I think I could do something with this? What switched for you there?
So during the whole course, I was like, there's a part of the course that's very much geared towards business and blogging and all of these different elements. And obviously I knew a lot about the business and blogging side already, but we had to do a practicum near the end of the class where we had to teach a class or run a workshop. It was kind of, there were different options of ways you can do it. And of course, this was also pre-COVID, so I could actually do it in real life, which was awesome. And I decided that I was going to do a practicum for kids. And my coach, she told me I was nuts because working with children, especially when you're making healthier food, is like a setup. It's like going to be a disaster. There's no way that it's going to work out well because the kids are going to come, they're going to make some healthy dishes, they're going to say it's gross, and you're going to feel defeated. And I'm like, nope, I've got this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm passionate about. And one of the reasons I was passionate about it, just to give you some background, is I had taken a snack to my middle son's baseball game, like house league baseball game. And I brought oranges and watermelon. And this one kid came up to me and went, boo, because I didn't bring the candy and the junk after the baseball game. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, not that I'm not okay with, like, if someone wants to have a donut after the game, great, have your donut. I don't care. I'm not judging you. But like, we're teaching these kids to be super active and healthy. And then we're feeding them, can I say shit? We're feeding them shit. And I don't understand where that connects. Like, you go into a hockey rink and all there is the vending machines with chocolate bars and all of this. But meanwhile, they're being active. So it was this like emotion. You can see I'm already getting emotional talking about it. So I was like, I'm going to do my practicum with kids. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to do this. So I did. And I had 10 teenagers. Luckily, I've got friends with teenagers who were prepared to be my guinea pigs. And they came into my house and we made spaghetti sauce from scratch. We made a kale salad that they actually ate. And we made healthy cookies. And we made this like cool, healthy Nutella that has no nuts, made with hemp seeds. And these kids had so much fun and I had so much fun. And I was like, this is amazing. I would love to do this. So this was right near the end of the course. So I was like, okay, I'm going to dabble in this. I'm going to see what I can do with it. And I planned a March break camp for a couple hours each day. And we all know what happened in Ontario around the world last March. So I'm sending out emails and I'm canceling all of this. And I'm like, oh, well, I tried. I guess it's over. That's it. What can I do? And a whole bunch of people said, why don't you do something on Instagram Live? Well, like, why not? And I'm like, I've got nothing else to do. I'm in lockdown. Life is boring. What else am I going to do? So I invited my kids did it with me on Instagram Live. And we started hosting these like pop-up cooking and like little baking shows. And we only had like, 10 people come and 4 people come and 20, like it wasn't like anything huge, but it was fun. And it started fast forward a year to where I am now with just teaching online cooking classes for kids and teens and adults.
This is so amazing. So definitely coming back to the start of what you were saying. So you've got kids who just reach for whatever you kind of put in front of them, to be honest, half the time. Like, I'm still like this. Sometimes I'm like, if someone else makes me a sandwich, it just tastes so nice, So it's like, but I might, reach for something quick and easy if I'm in a pinch. So to provide healthy options for kids, but also give them, I think the biggest part with what you're doing is giving them the tools to know how to prepare their own food. So, I'm like, I don't want to speak for all parents, but I feel like, you go through these phases with your kids. Like right now, mine, one of them could just eat beige food for all of eternity. And I'm like, when is that going to switch? And I know that it comes down to us as parents introducing it. So did you find like with your own kids that this was that you had tricky moments and that you kind of had to be creative, or was it just always part of your day to day? Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, I think, and this is another important piece that you're sort of hitting on, is that my youngest is a super picky eater. He always has been. he may always will be. Like, he still would reach for, you know, bread and cheese and yogurt and cereal and milk, and that's it. Oh, and cucumber. He loves cucumber for some weird, like, but if given the choice, he would. But I also don't want to give him a bad relationship with food. So it's not like we're sitting at the dinner table and I'm force feeding him kale. Like, that's not how dinner works in my house, even though we have a wide range of healthy options. We do order pizza. We do takeout. We do, like, it's, and I don't like the word balance because I don't believe in balance, because I don't think we can attain balance. But I do think that giving kids the tools and the ownership on their food by giving them the ability to learn how to cook it and taste different things without sitting at the table in this, like, you know, proper way and having to clean your plates and doing all of that, I don't think that that works. So what I have learned with my youngest especially is he takes pride on knowing a few of the tips and tricks that I teach that I repeat over and over again, because he participates in, like, a lot of the school workshops I do. He comes on because they're younger kids. And so he kind of, like, swaggers in. He's like, I'm the helper. That's my job. And he'll tell you, this is how you crack an egg. This is how you measure flour. This is how, and just, again, he's still not eating the kale, but he has this, like, this energy around food that is like, I can make food. I can do this. And that's only going to help him in the future, because eventually he will eat other foods, I think, besides bread and ketchup and cheese. I don't know. We'll see.
It's so true. But yeah, you're right. Like, our palates change. And I do think that, you know, fear of the unknown, I'm the first to, like, be like, that's me. If I don't know how to do something, I hate looking silly. You know, I hate not knowing how to do something. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, when I left my house, I'm trying to think back when I was younger, like, I probably knew how to cook a few things, but I probably could have used a few more tips and tricks, right, to kind of set myself up for success. And I find that my husband is far more confident in the kitchen. He had jobs as, like, a young guy working as, like, a sous chef and stuff. But he teaches the kids, like, This is how you crack the egg. This is how you make the eggs. And the other day, Esme, my daughter, got up early and made eggs for her brother. And I was like, what is happening? Like, but it's having these amazing little skills. Yeah, absolutely. And I do love what you said too about balance. Balance is such a tricky word. It is unattainable. It's like not possible. Some weeks are busy, some days. It's like, but like you said, just introducing these foods and having it be like, let me taste this. Cause even with kale, just talking about kale, you know, I love a good kale salad.
No, so do I. Again. I don't mean to obsess over kale. It's just an easy one because it's green and a lot of people don't like it. So that's why I use it.
That's it. But like, my daughter won't eat it in a salad, but if you make kale chips, boy, she's all over it, you know? And it's like, wouldn't have known that unless she kind of helped me. We got one of these air fryer things and we're like, well, let's try out some kale chips. And you teach this course, you have this hands-on experience. You realize that you probably have a knack for it. Likely you're being a mom and having three boys, and then also having worked in a field where you do understand the social media aspect of things. So you take this course, which you were hoping to be hands-on, and you turn it into something that people can access online. So how are you working with people right now? How is this unfolding for you?
So it's unfolding every single day. It keeps changing. I think, to your point, I was very lucky because I've had a whole bunch of people from the course reach out to me saying, what are you doing? How are you doing this? And I was like, guys, I have a background in marketing. I have a background in journalism, so I know how to perform in front of the camera. Like, I have a couple of boxes that allow me to sort of move this to the next stage. But with all of that said, I'm also making it up as I go along, which is what we do, right? There's people, I see things that are happening out on the interwebs, and I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. I can offer that. I can do that. I've done everything over the last few months when things have really picked up, from make your own hot chocolate bombs, which was obviously like all the rage back in November and December when you couldn't get like the silicone mold. Again, not healthy, but super fun things to do in the kitchen, all the way to what I'm calling Chef-ish, which is actually, it's happening in April. It's a course for, you talked about university kids or college kids. for teenagers to learn how to grocery shop, meal plan, and do basic cooking for themselves when they move out. And I think this year, especially because a lot of people took a gap year because of COVID, a lot of kids are still living at home. Residences aren't what they were. I think next year is going to be a very interesting experience, and a lot of kids are going to need that help. I shouldn't call them kids. They're like young adults. The young adults are going to need a lot of that help. So I'm doing that. I'm doing birthday parties, virtual birthday parties, because all these kids are now having their second COVID birthday. I'm about to have my second COVID birthday, and I love my birthday, and I'm so sad about that. So really, and I'm doing a lot of corporate and private events too. My classes are different than it. There's a lot of other like professionals, like chefs and nutritionists who do really, really cool virtual classes. My classes are kind of like a combo of both, and they're always really silly and approachable because I will make a mess. I will forget an ingredient. But I want it that way because I want the kids or even the adults who feel intimidated in the kitchen to be like, oh, look, she's not here sort of like from her high horse being all like, you need to eat like this and it needs to be perfect. And no, let's just cook together. Let's just cook together. Let's just have fun. Let's enjoy our food. Let's learn something new. Let's learn about a few nutrients that are in a couple of the different dishes that we're making, just because that's a good background for you. I don't talk about calories. I don't talk about portions. I don't talk about any of that crap. It's just about eating good food, trying some new things, and having a lot of fun.
Okay. First of all, with the young adults going out into the world, like that stuff is so important. I feel like even now, because it is so easy to quickly just order something off any
Uber
of those.
Uber Eats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had a rough week this week and I feel like, oh my God, and I'm not feeling my best because I've eaten all of this takeout and you don't have control over what's going into your meals. And like, I like a good takeout every now and then, but I don't want it to replace like all of our beautiful meal prep. And so, you know, really helping people overcome that, I don't know what to do in the kitchen. It's like the second you learn just a little bit, you feel like you have a sense of control and you can be creative and play around. And
it's not expensive. Like that's the other thing is these kids are going off to school or even everyone right now. Like we're living in a time where finances are really, it's a tough subject. It's really tight for a lot of people. And yes, ordering in is in some ways easier, but if you can just take an hour out of your week to plan a little bit, pop some vegetables into the oven and roast them for the week so you have them to pull out, little tricks, like hard boil a bunch of eggs so you have them and then they can be eggs, they can be egg salad. Like does not need to be like, let's make a 5-course meal. Like we don't need that, but it can save you money too. And I know prices are higher than they normally are right now because of everything, but it's still cheaper than ordering it all the time.
I lived with my mother and my in-laws for a little bit, and she's like your classic domestic engineer, you know, like she is just amazing in the kitchen, where it can be a little intimidating because you're like, I can edit anything on social media, but God help me when it comes to like making what you're making. But she was like, Amanda, she goes, when I got married, she goes, do you think I knew any of this? Not a chance. You pick it up over time and you don't just start being an expert, right? And it's having and acquiring all these little tools that you need, like how to, you know, do a nice hard boiled egg, or, you know, how to make a gravy. I mean, all these like little things. And, you know, I definitely love the emphasis on knowing how to be eating nutritious meals. But like you said, you made the hot chocolate bombs. Like it's a balance. You got to have a little fun too. And like eat
You have to have fun. The kitchen needs to be a fun, approachable place. It can't be intimidating. And it also can't be a place where it's like people are scared to eat, you know, a brownie. Like that's not the way that we should be living our lives. I mean, you can make a gluten-free brownie with maple syrup, but you can also eat one with white sugar. It's totally fine. Like it's not all or nothing. And my biggest issue right now, to rant for a second, is that so much is all or nothing. And I don't think that that's the way it should be. I don't think it's setting the right example for our kids. I think we need to just eat the way it makes us feel good. And I think also, again, back to the experiences of in the kitchen, when your kids are in there and have a sense of ownership as to what they're doing, right? They're touching, they're like, they're squeezing the lemon. Oh, what does the lemon taste like? I'm going to lick the lemon. Ooh, that's bitter. Those types of, that's changing your palate. That is an experience. What are you doing with the, to bring back the kale reference? What are you doing with the kale? I'm massaging the kale. Oh, that looks like fun. I can get my hands into the kale and massage the kale. Maybe I'll pick up a piece while I'm doing it and try it. Maybe I'll spit it out. Maybe I'll like it. But at least he's trying it in a way that it's not me sitting at the dinner table with them saying, are you eating your kale? So exposing the kids through these classes this way is a great way, or just on your own in your own kitchen, is a great way just to make them have a solid relationship with food. Make it be something that's not intimidating. Crack an egg and drop it on the floor so they don't feel like they have to be perfect. You know what I mean? Like it's not about, you shouldn't have to feel intimidated going to the kitchen. I think you can learn. And also to your point about, you can't just get in and be able to cook a 5-course meal. I can't just get up and run a marathon. I can't just get up and drive a car. I can't just get up and do math. Like, don't do math anyways, but you know what I mean? Like, you have to learn how to do it. So give them that head start, give them that experience to say, look, I made these amazing muffins. It's like, yeah, you made those. I guarantee you, if the kid makes the muffins, the kid's going to eat the muffins because the kid owned it.
Exactly. And I love that you brought up the mess. So Esme is 9 and she's like really into trying things, and she watches a lot of YouTube and like these interesting channels that will try to like recreate famous things. And so she marches downstairs, Mom, I want to recreate this orange Julius smoothie thing. And I was like, cool. Mm-hmm. So I screenshot the recipe, sent it to her, and she comes out of the kitchen and I was like, don't say anything. She's wearing a white shirt it wasn't like a regular orange. It was one of these, not a blood orange, but kinda. And she was just like riddled with like spots of pink everywhere. And I was like, I don't know what happened, awesome. But I said, she hands me the smoothie and it was delicious. And I was like, look at you. You made this thing. I didn't have to make it, which was super fun. It tasted amazing. She got the confidence. And when I went in the kitchen, she cleaned the blender. And I was like, what?
Oh my God, that's such a win.
The counter's still needed to wipe down. But
fine. So what? That's okay. The counter needs a wipe down after I do my classes because I hate cleaning. My husband would vouch for that. But she lived the experience. Like, it's something she put her mind to. She wanted to do it. And she did it. She owned it. Like she rocked it. And you know what? That is one of the things that I do love about YouTube and TikTok and those places. There are some really awesome, easy recipes that kids can totally just copy on their own. My 13-year-old came down the stairs last Saturday morning and said, I saw this really cool cinnamon bun in a mug thing. I want to make it with you. I was like, oh my God, my 13-year-old's talking to me in the morning. He wants to hang out with me. Oh my God. Oh my God. He wants to hang out with me. I was so excited. So out comes the flour and the cinnamon and the sugar. And we made a huge disgusting mess. The recipe was meh, which is also the problem with TikTok recipes, is there's usually something missing, but we had fun and we ate it and it was a grand old time. And then I made him clean it up because I was like, I'm not cleaning up this kitchen.
No way.
No
plan.
No
okay.
Way.
You mentioned something about recipes missing things. So Dean and I are always talking about this, that there are like fake recipes on the internet at times. Yes. Like you'll do something and he's like, he'll be reading it. And because he's got a little bit more understanding of like the science behind baking and cooking, he'll be looking at this going, no, it's impossible. You're not going to get bread unless you have this one thing. I don't know why they didn't put it in this recipe. And then he's like, oh, it's probably a fake recipe. I'm like, that's a thing? Like, that is wild.
I think it's especially with these trends. And again, you can relate this. Everyone's a content creator. Everyone's an influencer. Everyone's a food blogger, right? Like, so, and that's what happens is that you put something into a mug, it does its magic, and you post a pretty picture. No one's tasting it. No one's eating it. No one's doing whatever, but it looks really pretty in the mug. My picture of the cinnamon bun that I took looked really pretty. It didn't taste good because it was called for self-rising flour. And I'm like, I don't have self-rising flour. I'm assuming it already has yeast or baking powder in it, or baking soda. One of them has to have some sort of something to make it do its magic, right? Like you're saying, what Dean said, it has to have that science in it. And I have regular, I have like 18 kinds of flour. I do not have that kind of flour. And so I use regular flour and I put in some instant yeast and I was like, let's see what happens. But again, it didn't say how long to cook it for either in the recipe. And I'm like, guys, I don't know how long to cook it for. Like I can guess, but I don't know. So yes, it's very, very frustrating. And I know that there are professional chefs and food people out there whose job it is to create recipes. And it's a really, it's a really difficult subject for them. It's a difficult subject for them also when people like me come in, because to be honest, because I will take a not so healthy recipe and I will tweak it to make it either gluten-free or dairy-free or refined sugar-free, because I was given those tools in my course to learn how to do that. I always say that this recipe is modified from so-and-so and give their link. And then like when I write it up for my classes, and this is my version of it. But for a lot of people, don't do that. And a lot of people own it, and there's some rules about trademark and some rules about not, and it gets very complicated. So really at the end of the day, as long as you're not like completely plagiarizing somebody else's recipe and you're taking it, just be thorough with it, test it before you publish it. So Dean doesn't go into the kitchen and get really upset when he's making his, making his meals. We don't want to upset him.
No, do not upset the chef. There's so many important things that you talk about. You know, it's like, it's gaining the confidence in the kitchen. And, you know, there are likely adults who could use some confidence, but starting with kids is such an important way to do it. Cause then you're just going along and growing and developing, and you already have some of the skills to make it work in the kitchen. And I guess, you know, for some like concrete type of advice for folks, like what are maybe some easy ways that you can empower kids to come into the kitchen and help with what you're making, or the recipes that you suggest people start out with?
So sure. So basically get them in there and get them doing something. There are knives that are like kid friendly that won't cut them for really little ones. But I'm also a huge believer that give a kid a good, it's funny because I'm used to be terrified of knives, but I learned in my course that a sharper knife is actually a safer knife, because a sharp knife doesn't slide out. A dull knife slides out. So if you're cutting something and you have a dull knife, that's when it's going to slide. And that's when it's going to, I've got a cut right here. That's when it's going to cut you. I learned the hard way. So, but giving kids those skills, like, so one of the things we do all the time when I do, because parents like kind of hover when we start doing things with knives in my classes. And I'm like, let me talk them through this. And we create like a flat surface. Like it sounds really basic, but we take an apple, we cut a piece of the apple off, just a little bit. So you're not going through the thick part that's really hard to cut, but near the end, then you put the apple flat on a surface and then you can cut, then you turn it and then you can cut again. And it's just easy, but it gives them that sense of like, oh, I can do this. The other thing that you can really do is find something in the recipe that you're making that gives them ownership over. So cracking the eggs, let them crack the eggs. If you get a piece of shell and you know you can just take it out, measure some of the wet ingredients, give them a measuring cup, give them the maple syrup, get them to measure it. If you get a little extra maple syrup in your brownies, it's not the end of the world, right? But give them those little like jobs, and they will feel like they are really good at it. The other thing is those food delivery services like Good Food and HelloFresh, not sponsored, just they come with really, really great instructions and really easy recipes. Their recipes are easy. So those types of things, order it and say, kids, today you're making dinner. Here's your box. Here's your instructions. Go. Or if you don't want to order from them, do it yourself. You could do something like that. Find a recipe online, print it out and say, here you go. I've bought you all the ingredients. They're all here. And just sort of keep an eye and see if they can work on it as a team and see if they can do it. And I'm not talking, you know, filet mignon with like, you know, bacon and like wrapped in scallops. I'm not talking about anything like that, but that sounds really good. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about like maybe they can make pasta and boil the water and then make a salad to go with the pasta, right? Like simple, simple stuff. All my recipes are simple. all my baking is one bowl. I don't think you need a dry bowl and a wet bowl. And again, the professional bakers would cringe hearing me say that, but I don't think you need it for what I'm making, what we're making. Less mess, easier for the kids. So it's kind of like a roundabout answer to your question, but I think just sort of giving them little jobs here and there, getting them interested in it is a really, really great way. Or also bonding time one-on-one if you've got multiple children like I do, taking one kid into the kitchen with you and say, Kate, it's our date. We're gonna make a dinner date right now. What should we make? And give them some ownership as to what we make, or plan that Saturday, get your groceries, and then maybe the following Thursday or Friday you make it with them. But there's lots of little creative ways. And it doesn't need to be an hour and a half meal. We make two recipes in 1 hour in my cooking class, and the kids are between the ages of 8 and 12. So it's very, very, it doesn't include cleanup, but it's very, very doable. It's very doable.
I think that's the biggest part is, like you said, you start with little tasks, and then eventually, you know, you build up the confidence in them that they could make you a meal. And I'm just thinking of times like when Esme made us breakfast recently. And I mean, she would never eat just like a plate of eggs or something. That's just not her MO. And she ate them and she was like, these are delicious. Aren't my eggs so fluffy? And I was like, of course they are, because you made them and they're fantastic. But you're right. It's like mm-hmm. these little things. And, you know, I definitely think that there is a place for, and I mean, this is like for all of social media, but there's a place for the perfectly curated food creator chef that's going to make these meals that you're like, I'll need four of those to feel hungry, but my goodness, that's beautiful. To like, yes. We're making everyday meals that you can, you know, every day, like, you know, just equip yourself with the tools and how to make this lovely salad or how to make these simple things. There really is a place for everyone. And I love that you took, I mean, I feel so excited just talking to you. First of all, your energy is super fun. Are you an Aries by chance?
I am an Aries.
Of course you're an Aries. When you said it was your birthday coming up, I was like, of course she's upset. Aries love a good party.
Always. I'm with you. I'm the extrovert of me does not like COVID. I'll tell you that.
No. And celebrating with food and just creating this sense of fun and ownership. And, you know, I think it's such a wonderful thing to bring to children. So, you know, in terms of people working with you right now, how can people get involved? How could they sign up for your classes? Where can they find you?
So I have a website. I just launched my online store, which is very exciting for me. So you can sign up for classes or inquire about private events through there. I am on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, but I don't really use it. I'm there just because people in groups recommend me and I need someone to tag me. So that's the only reason, but don't go looking for me on Facebook, please. Instagram is, I just don't have the time to do all the social, guys. I don't have the time. At Nourish to You is my Instagram. I do spend a lot of time on there. I do enjoy it. I share little tips and tricks. Like the other day I shared how to make a shepherd's pie a little bit more nutritious, but it doesn't actually like scare anybody away. So obviously you can do different meats and add some veggies in it, but the topper, again, this is the all or nothing scenario I was telling you about really quickly. So basically it's, you know, you have a white potato shepherd's pie. Delicious, yummy, so good. Then there's like the other extreme, which is like the cauliflower. And they make a cauliflower top. And some kids are going to be like, they can taste it. They're going to be like, ew, what are you tricking me with? I don't like this. So what I did is I met them halfway. Some potato, some white yams, which are super, super sweet, and a little bit of cauliflower. That became the topper. Kids didn't know the difference. And I don't like tricking kids, but it's a fun experience for them to see and be like, oh, I actually do like this, and put that as my top. And again, it's just a little bit more nutrient dense, a couple of somewhat different flavors without overpowering their palate and then being ew and then saying, I hate shepherd's pie, right? So, because that's what kids do, right? It's from 0 to 100. And you don't want to do the 0 to 100. You want to kind of slowly ease them over to the part where they're like, oh, I like this. This isn't so bad. So I give information like that was the point of the story on my Instagram all the time. That's the type of content. I do some recipes, and I have a weekly newsletter where I give out one free recipe a week, and I get you to vote on it. And usually people pick baking because everybody likes baking, especially right now. But my baking is healthier. It's not healthy because no baking is healthy, but it's healthier and it's still super yummy.
Oh, I love that. And so I know that for a lot of people who are listening, I'm going to include the links in the show notes to your website, but give me the website address for people listening.
Nourishtoyou.ca.
Perfect. Well, I'm so excited to follow along on your journey and get some good tips. Cause let me tell you, we made a shepherd's pie the other day and it was a fail. I did not make it, mind you, but I was like, it was a little too much veggie in there for my children. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing. And it's not all or nothing. You don't need to take a healthy recipe and go like swinging for the fences with it, right? To use a baseball analogy. It can be a little bit like, you know, maybe add, if your kids love mushrooms, add some extra mushrooms. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. Like keep your regular recipe as is, but they like it, or they like carrots, add some extra carrots. That's it. Maybe reduce the barbecue sauce or a sauce that has a lot of sugar with it a little bit and replace it maybe with a little paprika. Like I could go on and on, and I won't, but I'm just saying, like, don't think that it has to be all the way to the other side, because again, it might give them a bad experience, especially if they're picky eaters and they're not used to it. Their palate's not used to it. So they're going to taste it. And even if it is delicious, they just may not be used to it and they may not like it. And then that's a bad experience for them. And that sucks.
Exactly. And I, you know what, I'm here for that messaging. Cause it's like, I love soups. I always want to have my children eating soups, but if there's not enough cheese in said soup or something, you know, creamy, then one of my kids won't eat it. And it's like, we'll just slowly start, you know, reducing the amount, and then they'll get used to it, you know? So it's these really practical tips, I think, is so important, that I know my audience is going to appreciate. So
nutritional yeast is a good replacer for cheese. It's what vegans use all the time. Or if you don't have a nut allergy, you can use some grinded cashews, which they won't be able to, if you puree your soup, you can use some cashews. It gives that same creamy feeling without it being cheese. And obviously you've got really good fats from the cashews. And nutritional yeast is just like a powder, and it's like yellow and it doesn't look very nice, but it's a really good cheese replacer.
I know that I bought some, but I used it for one recipe and then I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Cause I'm not a vegan. I just wanted to, like, you know, get a little healthier, but it's these little things. This is why we need to follow Allison, so we know what to use with all the ingredients in our cupboards. You know what I'm saying? So
there you go. Q&A with me. Ask me any questions, guys. I'm here to help.
Good. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Allison. I think we got a lot of tips and I wish you all the best. And hopefully we can sneak into your course at some point. It'd be fun.
I'm happy to have you guys anytime. Let me know.
Welcome, man friend Dean.
Hi, man. Wait, woman friendo Amanda.
Hello. I figured you might enjoy this episode because...
I love this episode. It's got a lot of things that I... Anyway... Besides Allison's vivacious personality, there's so much good information in here. I'm hungry to talk about. I'm hungry right now.
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay, so first of all, we all know that Dean is like a fantastic chef, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not a fantastic chef.
But, I mean, sometimes you make things that don't taste great. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's happened once or twice.
Did you want to end the podcast here then?
But one of the messages that I think... it's just resonated with me and I know would be important to you is like the part about gaining confidence in the kitchen, just knowing how to do some basic stuff.
Well, if we left it up to the chefs that be that we see on various media and television, we would all think that we need to have a garden with shallots in it, a cow that would give whipping cream to you every day, and know how to make like various things that, you know, sauces that cost you $15 to even get the... No, this is not, to me, this is gourmet cooking pushed into the realm of home cooking. And they're, to me, different things, different things. So what I liked about what she's saying is like, she's educating young people how to cook. And I remember a story. This is a very short, non-boring story. My sister, who's much older than I am, we were talking about, like, this is when Martha Stewart was in her heyday, right? And, oh, Martha Stewart. And people were dissing Martha Stewart. Oh, she's got those chickens that lay those eggs and those colored eggs. And, oh, she likes things. She knows how to paint and all this kind of stuff. Well, I'll tell you one thing about Martha Stewart. Unlike Julia Child, who was trying French cooking in a certain way, bringing French cooking, I guess, into the home a little bit, but a lot of Julia Child's work is like very detailed, right? Martha Stewart was a woman who brought normal, good cooking into, in my opinion, into the light.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, like if you look way back, some of the stuff that she was doing, you know, like how to cook a chicken, you know, how to make a meatloaf, all this kind of stuff. And she did have fancy stuff, but this came at a time when, for some reason, I don't know why I'm not a sociologist. I don't know why people do things or don't do things, but I think that women were more concentrating on the workplace and being out of the home more.
Well, we weren't necessarily.
Eating out became a big thing.
Well, this is where you and I have a bit of an age difference because, like, I grew up with two parents that worked full time jobs.
Right.
Three parents, actually. You had a parent home for a significant amount of time, and then she took different work on throughout the years. But, like, there's an age difference also between you and your eldest sibling.
Right.
So you're right. Like, people were like, I got other things to do. I'm becoming a lawyer. I'm doing these amazing things, or I'm working in an administrative role, whatever it is. I don't have time to be making chocolate mousse cakes throughout the day to serve for dessert.
Right.
I want to, you know, and it's what you mentioned too about Martha Stewart. I can think of two recipes in my arsenal, which is like these fluffiest pancakes you ever did have and how to hard boil an egg perfectly are both from Martha Stewart's website.
Yeah.
It's just like basic stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know for myself, like I grew up with, like I said, two parents working, three parents working. I didn't have somebody showing me how to do stuff in the kitchen. So when I moved out, I knew how to do a few things, but a lot of it, I just kind of like I was winging it. Yeah. And I still am not the most confident in the kitchen. And I think there's something to be said about showing kids how to slice an onion. Or she mentioned, you know, which, you know, you've talked to me about before, about why a sharp knife is important over a dull knife and how to use said knife. And, you know, all these little things.
Yeah.
Because you create that sense of ownership in the kitchen and you're more inclined to want to eat the food you're making.
Agreed. And we've developed such a dysfunctional relationship with food because I think that when you watch, you know, these gourmet programs all the time and you're, you know, Rachel Ray is a great cook and has a lot of fantastic stuff. But the thing is that if you look at some of these recipes with 14, 15 ingredients, yeah, okay, if you're making it for a special time, you know, that. But that to me is that the ingredients are making the meal. That's great. But what about like learning how to make a white sauce or how to like reduce a gravy or how to, you know, cook a very, very tough, you know, roast so that it's actually edible and all that type of stuff. That's old information. You know, my mom used to work from the various cookbooks, but her favorite and the one she gave to me are the Best of Bridge cookbooks. These are very, very old. And if you look at each recipe, you'll rarely find a recipe that has more than 11 or 12 ingredients, especially like the dinner type recipes. They're easy to make. But what's more important about these, in my opinion as well, is these recipes, is that what are you actually eating? How are you balancing this meal to some form of food guide and all that type of stuff? And to be honest, like, look at when I cook, you know, I you're always after me. Well, you're not so much anymore, but how many vegetables am I employing in my meals, like, you know, at any given time?
Minimal. You have to beat you over the head with some kale to include it.
Right. But now, like, I've made, you know, kale salad and a bunch of different things. So, but you have to have that education, you have to have the want to make delicious meals from all the different food groups. To make a long story short, I like what she's doing because she's providing education to younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And younger people are, you know, they're going to have family soon and they need to provide balanced meals for them. It's something that's been forgotten in my opinion, but I digress.
Yeah. And you know, she talks about too, like Allison was saying, a lot of her recipes are like a one bowl situation. You know, if you're baking, she's like, you don't necessarily need two bowls.
No,
you can just, and taking away the sense of like perfection,
also helps. I think that's a big thing, you know, where social media can sometimes cause some problems is we want everything to like look perfect while we're doing it, but that's not actually attainable. You know, if you're making a meal, you're likely going to make a mess. And I was sharing a funny one about, you know, Esme's gotten really into food preparation and she made that smoothie the other day. She comes out, she's just speckled and like blood orange all over her, but it was like on her face. I was like, I didn't say anything. I thought this is the cutest thing because she's taking the time to make this special treat and she's so proud of it and it tasted delicious and she drank the whole thing, yeah, you know? Amazing. So I think it's really admirable to make your hobby and something you're passionate about and turn it into a business. Like, that's no small feat.
And what a noble business. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like she wanted to change her direction. She changed her direction, what she was doing, and she's doing something worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. Good
so
stuff.
So fun. So I guess today's moral is, Dean, make more vegetables. Don't be afraid.
I sometimes am.
And then who knows, you just might eat them.
I make vegetables, but you know what? The thing is I get from watching this, it's not just the education to try different foods and balance the meals, but you know, like sometimes, you know, I love potatoes.
I do as well.
I love them. But I'm not willing to like put too much time into a Brussels sprout, really. I guess I will, but... You know,
I know. Well, and she, you know, she talks little things about like, let's say you do want to make a shift. You know, it's not like she was mentioning like the shepherd's pie recipe about how she took, instead of just being full potato cover, it's like potato with some cauliflower, with some white yams, which I've never even heard of a white yam.
Right.
Like what? Anyway, I got to do some grocery shopping, but she mixed it all together. And so it's not too different. Like you're not trying to change gears with people's palates and taste buds too quickly, too harshly, where they, you know, it's not all or nothing, like she said. You can slowly integrate and make changes and introduce new things. And I like it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Food is fun. Keep it fun. Keep the relationship good and playful and creative and all those good things. Well, thanks, Dean.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll catch you next week with another episode. Friendo Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Amanda Muse. Music on this episode is written by Chris Bevins and Mike Payne, performed and produced by MP Real Glow. If you'd like to help support the growth of Friendo Podcast, you can do so by leaving a positive review, sharing the podcast with your friends and community, and supporting the shop at HelloFriendo.com. Find us on Instagram at ShopHelloFriendo. And thank you for listening. And remember, be your own bird.